wanted to look at that psalm, the 100th psalm tonight, as it pertains to prayer. The psalm begins, as we just sang, having to do certainly with worship. And reminds God's people that God is the author of all things, and that He has taken a people to Himself and cares for them as the sheep of the pasture. And then in the fourth verse, he says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." This enter into His gates with thanksgiving is an entering in, and this is a coming into God's presence, and we can see that as the corporate people of God entering into corporate worship or corporate prayer or personal prayer. It's important then that we see that thanksgiving is, as we see in this verse, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That there is a centrality to thanksgiving, both on our lips and in our hearts, to come into God's presence. So we see then that this is a command. It's a statement of necessity. Enter in with thanksgiving. The believer is not merely permitted in the new covenant, in the covenant that the Lord Jesus made with His Father on behalf of His people, but because of that covenant, in which the temple veil was rent in two, making way for us to come into the Holy of Holies on a regular basis. This psalm here says that there is a manner in which we come. We don't merely come, out of need. We certainly do come out of need. Why else would we come? And Hebrews 4 tells us, "Let us therefore come," and we ask for those things that we have desperate need of. But the prerequisite, if you will, or the foundation of thanksgiving gives us the manner of coming that says, "Yes, I acknowledge who You are." So the foundation of thanksgiving is a necessity. And so that's the first point, is that we're called in and we're called to thanksgiving. Secondly, if I have difficulty giving thanks, then one of these foundational elements named here in this psalm is broken. One of these foundational elements is broken. And I will find that prayer is a mere recitation in God's presence. It is not a laying hold of Him in faith. Faith presumes these things. That's why there is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving then is not a nicety, a how do you do, how are you, for entering into God's presence. But it's a necessary sight of who God is in order to lay hold of Him by faith. So if I'm having difficulty, something is broken, a sight of His goodness. And God is not merely a God far away who is good, but I don't know what that really means. The believer participates in God's goodness, even in his most difficult times. And that goodness extends to the believer, and even in our difficulties, we are participating in it. His truth is a reality for the believer. As I say, even when I may be in the dark, His truth is a reality. And I come to Him and say, I'm in the dark, I don't know what's going on. But He has power to extend His truth even to me, and so I come to Him. The foxhole prayer just kind of says, oh, if there is a God, well, that may be fine in the foxhole for the prior agnostic, but for the one who knows God, to know His goodness and His truth, to be reminded, or certainly to remind myself of that, is to approach Him in a proper manner. And then lastly, and that, again, this all comes just from this verse 4. For the Lord is good. Why do I come to Him with thanksgiving and praise? For He is good. His mercy is everlasting. In truth, His truth endures to all generation. That is the manner, the foundation, the enablement, if you will, of prayer. So the everlasting nature of His mercy, which has, again, extended to me, is currently reaching me. I may have a tenuous hold on it right now, but it's a reality that is there for me. And the seeming gerbil on the little wheel. If I feel that way, I'm crying out, but I don't know what is going on. As I say, one of those is broken. Okay. Lastly, thanksgiving is not dependent on good circumstances. But on a continued and real relation to these three things, His goodness, His truth, and the everlasting nature of His mercy. All of three of which extend to me and provide foundation for me and for me to come to Him. As an example, we see Psalm 57, David in the cave. David has had to flee from the current king, who is a professing believer in God, but in fact is reprobate. And in his zeal, he has done all kinds of overreaching things, one of which is to run David out. And Psalm 57 describes of the situation. And they, in situations in which the believer is driven to extremity, in which God's power and truth and mercy would seem to be in doubt. Here I am, running for my life. How do you pray? Well, certainly the prayer continues. We see in Psalm, in verses 1 and 2, David said in Psalm 57, I'm not going to read the entire psalm, but allow me. He cries out. And you can imagine where I'm going. He continues to have this same foundation. He essentially says, I am the sheep of your pasture, and your power extends to me, and your mercy extends to me. The end of verse 2, he says, I'm praying to God who performs all things for me. I am, as Psalm 100 says, I am the sheep of your pasture. Even here in the cave. Even here on the run for my life. Now, I believe that these attributes of God, in a certain sense, are more evident and more precious to the believer in large adverse circumstances. Our problem may be in small adverse circumstances in which our pins are knocked out from under us. How can that be? You know, this shouldn't be like this, we say. And so our pins are knocked out from under us. But God's truth and mercy and goodness are still extending to me. And that's how I keep my composure and continue to cry out to God in the midst of these things. So, the second half of verse 2, he says, I will cry to you, to God, who performs all things for me. And we see in the latter third of this, and he's just continuing to cry. In the last third of this, in verses 9 to 11, we see him saying, I will praise you. Verse 10, for your mercy and for your truth. You see, that triad is there in great difficulty. Praise, mercy, and truth. It's clear that he still sees that God is good himself and good toward him. That triad is holding firm. That is the only basis upon which we can, in fact, call upon God. We're not seeing him as God if that is not the stance upon which we call upon him. And we are, our wheels are slipping like we're in snow, or as I say, the gerbil on his little wheel, if that is not the case for us. But if it is the case for us, we enter into real prayer. And God is God for us. And we are, in that sense, at his disposal, but crying out profitably to him for those things for which we have real need. Let's close this session with prayer.